Well, I'd like to welcome those of you who are going to be with us today. We're going to be discussing a message entitled, A Guide to Receiving the Immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. And we're talking about the power of Yahweh being manifest among His people. If you will, turn me to the book of Psalms, Tehillim, and we'll look at chapter 62, or Psalm 62. And I want to kind of use this to springboard into the message. Psalm 62. And verse 11 says, Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to Elohim. And we know that Yahweh has power, and we also know that He wants to share that power with His people. We're going to basically lay a foundation with this message. It's what we're doing on our Tuesday evenings when we're coming together for our teaching times once a month, sharing messages that are important that we don't usually get to share on Shabbat. We only have so much time during the week, but there are things that need to be taught. One of those things is on the power that's available to Yahweh's people, Israel. And we really want to take time to let Yahweh really bring things back around, I guess you would say, because when we came into the restoration, into the Hebraic back about 10 years ago, really talking about the power of Yahweh through the immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh was not something that you really talked about so much. Certainly didn't talk too much about the giftings and the anointings and that sort of thing. Of course, there was a lot of things that was important, of the things that we were learning and that sort of thing, but still, it wasn't until just a few years ago that it seemed like the Holy Spirit began to again bring forth an emphasis to renew the ideas and the truths concerning Yahweh's power to His people. I know that with Bacha Wooten and the MIA, Messianic Israel Alliance, back a couple of years ago, there came a real emphasis through them on this area. And it was about the same time, and really didn't know that they were on that line of thinking when the Holy Spirit began to move with me, and I got with Craig and Jan, and we discussed it and decided that, yes, what we needed to do was we needed to bring a re-emphasis again to the need to have power among Yahweh's people, among Israel. So through this message, we're going to lay a foundation because depending on which particular flow you may have come through or flavor of church you may have come through, you probably know this message probably by the title of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, type affiliation, those of us who've come through that were are very much familiar with that. And yet, what I want to do is I want to kind of veer away from that, because what I want to do in this message is show that it has always been Yahweh's will to provide His people, Israel, with power. Beloved, the role of the Ruach HaKodesh in the restoration of the whole house of Israel has been either greatly minimized or outright ignored or shunned. This must change. And that's what we want to do, hopefully, with this message and those that will be listening to it online, to help us understand that, yes, there has been a great deal of damage in many ways done because of the excesses and the abuses that we've seen in what we know as the church. And yet, in Yahweh's mercy, He allowed for His Ruach to be manifest and to bring forth his power in those settings. And the reason is because within what we know as the church of Christendom, this is where most of Ephraim is located and has been located for the past few thousand years. And in Yahweh's mercy, because Ephraim was there, he allowed his Holy Spirit to come. Now then, you may have heard me say, if you've heard me at other times speak concerning when I began to question Yahweh, and I came into the restoration and realized that, it wasn't about bringing all the churches together and making all the churches one, but it's always been about Israel. And Israel had been split due to Shlomo's sins with the foreign wives and being gotten into idolatry, worshiping their false mighty ones. And as a result, the kingdom was split, not under him, but under his son Rehoboam. And Israel was divided at that time. And there was the northern house and the southern house. The northern house was made up of the of 10 tribes, and that was the northern kingdom. And then the southern kingdom was made up of basically 2.5 tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin and Manasseh. And so, anyway, it's always been about bringing the two houses back together and making them one. This is what's happening. This is why we're doing what we're doing and have been called and are a part of this restoration, is to bring that about. What the Holy Spirit told me, and as I said, you've heard me share this before, but I asked Abba, I said, well then, what was the whole thing about the church? I mean, if it's always been about Israel, then why the church? Why wasn't the church even allowed? And I really felt like the Holy Spirit whispered to me in my heart these words: the church was a womb where Ephraim could be protected and kept until the time of his being brought forth. And so, we thank Yahweh for his love and his mercy. But yet today we're seeing Ephraim being brought forth, and now more than ever we need to see the power of Elohim among his people. Because, beloved, as we get further along, and well, of course we have come to understand that the teaching on the rapture as it's been taught within the Church of Christendom is not going to happen the way it's been taught, and we're going to have some difficult times ahead as we progress on, and things are going to get more difficult. And beloved, we're going to need the power of Yahweh in the house of Israel in order for us to make it through, so that we can go into the kingdom and see the return of our blessed master Yeshua. We're going to need the power of Elohim more than we ever have. And the enemy doesn't want us to know this, and doesn't want us to experience this. And again, this is the reason for this message. But what we're going to do in this foundation that we're laying is try and clearly show that it's always been Yahweh's will for his people Israel to have the Ruach HaKodesh and his power. It's always supposed to be, and always has been, about Israel, not for simply a replacement entity called the church. It was allowed because of Ephraim's presence there. But today, Ephraim is being brought forth out of this womb, come out from among her, is what we're hearing by the Spirit. And now more than ever, we need the anointings and the power that Yahweh can bring to us through the Ruach HaKodesh. So, first of all, what I want to do is, if you would, turn me to the book of Exodus. Shemot chapter 20, here we're going to see the first of two mountains that have played a great part in Israel's history. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see another mountain that played an important role in Israel's history. But in Exodus, Shemot chapter 20, what you're having here, you know, this is the time of the Matan Torah. This is the time of the giving of the Torah to Israel, and the manifestations of Yahweh that were taking place as this was going on. We read in verse 18, chapter 20, Shemot, it says that all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Now then, it's very interesting as we look at this, because the people perceived, in other words, some translations say they actually saw the thunder and the lightning. Not odd to see lightning, but certainly a little different to see the thunder, and even more so when we look at the meanings of these words, because the word for thunder in the Hebrew is kol, or literally, it's voices, okay? Lightnings, the word for lightnings in the Hebrew is lapid, and literally that means torches. So what they were really seeing and hearing were the thundering, the voices, and the torches. And the rabbis tell us that it was as if the fire of Yahweh had been distributed among Israel there at Mount Sinai. And we see this manifestation of Yahweh as His power is being demonstrated at the giving of the Torah. Now, if you would, turn me to Acts chapter 2, and we'll fast forward, and we'll see here on Mount Moriah, or the Temple Mount, here is another instance where the power of Yahweh is being manifest, As the Ruach HaKodesh is given, as promised by Rebbe Yeshua. It says in some translations, it says when the day of Pentecost, which is Shavuot, says when it had fully come, okay, they were all together in one place, fully come. I used to read that and I had no idea what that meant, but what we've just gotten finished is we passed through Passover, Pesach, we began counting the Omer, where we're counting up 49 days, 7 weeks, plus a day, which brings us to Shavuot, or Pentecost. Now, this is what it means here when it says when the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, had fully come. They had counted those days. If you remember, Yeshua had appeared on and off with the disciples for 40 days, and then He was taken up, and before He left, He told them to go and wait on the promise of the Father in Jerusalem so that they would receive power. Now, this is what's happening in Acts chapter 2 here on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. You know, another thing that we were taught is that the Acts chapter 2 actually happened in a small upper room, and yet that's not what happened, because if you were a observant Jewish follower of Yahweh on this feast day, you would be at the temple, not in a room set off by itself. And basically that's where the disciples were, here on the Temple Mount, when all of a sudden the power of Yahweh is manifest as the Ruach HaKodesh. It says in verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's very interesting. Even the word for house here is not the word that you would normally see in the Greek when it talks about just a regular house where someone lives. But it's the word that's associated with the temple also here in chapter 2, verse 2. Then it says in verse 3, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Again, what you saw at Mount Sinai is happening here again. The lightnings are coming. In verse 4 it says, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. So here we have the voices, we have the lightnings. It's the same exact thing that happened there at Matan Torah, there at Mount Sinai, is happening here at the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh, as the promise of the Father was spoken by Rabbi Yeshua, that it was going to happen. And it did happen here in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Shavuot had fully come. What we're saying, beloved, is that the Ruach HaKodesh must have a central place in all of Yahweh's activities among His people, Israel. As we're told in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says Yahweh. And beloved, this is the day that we're beginning to move in restoration. This is the day that we need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Let me ask you a question. Has the kingdom of darkness, has HaSatan, may his name be blotted out forever, has he lost any of his power? Then why should we believe that Yahweh would not have the same power to give his people that would at least equal to what we are going to come up against when it comes up against the powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness? That doesn't make any sense. No, Yahweh's not lost any of his power. And we don't deal with dispensationalism when it comes to the Hebrew and the Hebraic understanding of Yahweh's ways. We're not chopping everything up. No, this is the power of Yahweh has always been for his people Israel, will always be for his people Israel, and is still a part of his people's life every day. We need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in order to be able to get through these days and to accomplish what Yahweh is calling us to as his people Israel. Now then, we're going to be making some points as we go on from here. The first one that we want to look at is the immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is only available to those who have believed upon Yeshua, HaMashiach, as Savior. The immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is only available to those who have believed upon Yeshua, HaMashiach, as Savior. Now then, in John chapter 7, verses 37-38, here we find Yeshua standing at Sukkot, at the water pouring ceremony, and he stands up and he says, "Now on the last day, the great day of that feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" I think the King James Version says, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But notice what it says. It says, it's for he who believes. The immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is only for believers. It's a qualified experience. Okay? You first of all have to have met and come to a saving knowledge of Yeshua as Redeemer and Savior. You must first have seen Him on that tree, dying for your sins, having been buried and raised again from the dead. Then, having believed upon His redemptive work, having been born again, then you are a candidate to receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, this is where Yeshua has the woman at the well, and they're talking. And a very familiar passage to most of us. But John chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14, Yeshua says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," talking about the water out of that well that they were standing at, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." You see, salvation happens to us, and our spirit is opened up to the supply of Yahweh, and we all have, to some degree, the Ruach indwelling us at salvation, because if we don't, then we're none of His. Romans 8 and 9 says, "If any man have not the spirit of Mashiach, he is none of His." So, you know, at salvation, we do receive a measure of the Ruach in us. And it's like a well that springs up and satisfies us. The well is for me. It's to satisfy me when I'm thirsty and I can be refreshed. But then, as we just saw in Yochanan John chapter 7, 37-38, Yeshua talks about the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh that literally turns the believer's spirit from a well into a river. Now then, a well is for basically us as individuals, but a river is for others. And this, through the Ruach HaKodesh, the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh in the believer's life, this releases the anointings and the power of Yahweh, so we can minister, we can go forth in the name of Yeshua and the power of the Ruach and accomplish Yahweh's will, as we are witnesses of Yahweh's power and of His kingdom. It takes that, because we're going to come up against some things that we're going to face the enemy. And we're going to have the power to be able to cast him out and to overcome him. It's not going to be, you know, left up to us. If that's all we've got to depend on, we're in trouble. But the truth is that Yahweh has given us the Ruach HaKodesh and can turn that well into a river, so that out from our innermost being, out from our belly, there literally flows His supply, so that we can be a help to those to whom we're sent. We need the anointing. We need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now then, another point is the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, as we've said, is only for believers, but Yeshua HaMashiach is the immerser with the Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, we have to pay attention to who's doing the baptizing here, or the immersion. Okay, the one that's doing the immersion is Yeshua. Now then, we came to see salvation when we saw Yeshua on the execution stake, on the tree, dying for our sins, His blood being poured out for our redemption, His death, burial, and resurrection. That is the message of the gospel. But when we see Him raised up, seated in the heavens as the King, that's when we see Him pouring out the Ruach HaKodesh upon us. And we see Him enthroned, and the power of that throne is able to be given to us. Now, John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar. We all know that, especially all of us who've come through any type of the Baptist church. This is one of the scriptures they heralded. Thank goodness for that. Hadn't been for some of the Baptists, we wouldn't even be here today. But it says here, John 3:16 says, "For Elohim so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Well, if you know John 3:16, then you need to take a look at Luke 3:16, because here, Yochanan, the immerser, tells us this very important thing, that Yeshua is the one who immerses with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to what Yochanan says. It says, he answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water. I immerse you with water. But one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh and with fire." Now then, as the one who baptizes, he's the one that causes us to be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. Just like when we became believers, we followed in obedience to the immersion in water in the name of Yeshua. Well, now we come and we're not just immersed in the water, but we're immersed in the very power and presence of the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, and that's what we're seeing here, as Yeshua being the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, our next point is receiving the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh is a commandment given by our Rebbe Yeshua. This is something I think that we really need to pay attention to, okay? Because, you know, as we kind of came through the church, and I know that, you know, I was at one point pretty much told to stay away from the those that believed in the power of of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and all that. I was told, you know, all of that stuff is of the devil, and you know, I don't need to have any part of that. And yet, you know, all the years that I served the devil, and I ran hard after him when I was much younger, played in rock and roll bands and that sort of thing. Not one time, doing all the things that I did I ever have the temptation to speak with other tongues. So, I mean, if it was of the devil, I'd have been doing it. But, you know, I wasn't, because that wasn't true. We know that that there is the power of Yahweh, and I thank God every day that I experience that in my own life. And if it hadn't been for the power of Yahweh and the anointing that comes with this, you know, my oldest daughter Jennifer wouldn't even be with us today, because she fell out of the crib when she was just a baby, and I know that she broke her neck. We heard it snap. Her eyes rolled back into her head. She lost the color in her face, and she went limp. And I ran out of the room, went to get my shoes to run her to the doctor. And when I got to the door of the bedroom coming out, I felt like a hand against my forehead, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Will you trust me?" And I was honest. I said, "I don't think I can." And I started to move, and again I felt the hand on my forehead. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper again, "Will you trust me?" And I again was honest, and I said, This is my daughter." You know, I mean, if I pray about for myself and something doesn't happen, you know, well, already you see kind of the doubt that was there. You know, I said, well, that's one thing, but it's another thing when it comes to my daughter. And I went to move again and again, the third time, the pressing of the hand on my forehead, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Will you trust me?" And suddenly it was just like warm oil had been poured over my head and began to run down. I could feel it. And I said, "Yes." I stepped out of my shoes and I walked into the bedroom and I laid hands on my daughter. And as I did, I commanded death to come out of her. And I commanded her to live in the name, at that time, of Jesus. That's all I knew. But when I prayed that, her little body jerked and came up off the bed, breath entered into her body, her eyes rolled back down into her head, and she was alive. I'm convinced that if we had taken her to the doctor, we'd have buried her, because I believe that that neck was broken, and I believe that she died. But I saw the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank Yahweh for His power. For many of you have some of the same stories that you can tell of seeing the intervention of the power of Yahweh by the Ruach HaKodesh. We need and are going to need to see more of this as these days go on. And what I was going to say was that sometimes within what we know as the church, we treated the things of God like a smorgasbord. Well, you know, I want some salvation. I would like to have some peace. I'd like to have some of this, some of that. No, I don't want any of that. Speaking with other tongues. I don't want any, you know, of the power so much. You know, I just want this. I want that. But listen, beloved. Yeshua, our Rebbe, commanded the disciples, his Talmudim, he commanded them to receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. And as far as I can see within the scripture, there is nowhere where this command has been rescinded. Acts chapter 1 verse 4, this is what it says. Gathering them together, Yeshua, our Rebbe, gathered his Talmudim together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Okay? He says, wait, go to Jerusalem and wait on the promise of the Father. Why were they having to wait? Because he's getting ready to be taken up. He's been with them for 40 days. They're in the midst of the counting of the Omer, so they have to wait 10 more days, which will make 7 full weeks and a day. Then comes the day of Shavuot has fully come. Then they can receive. We don't need to wait anymore because the Holy Spirit has already come. The Ruach HaKodesh is already here. The power is available to us. We can receive from Him. Right now, where you are, okay? Now, it's very interesting. As we're talking about this being a commandment, the receiving of the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6, Rav Shaul, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he talks about the day when Yeshua was taken up. And we learn something here. He says there were over at least 500 people that were there the day that Yeshua was taken up and back into the heavens. 500. And he told his disciples, Acts 1:4, go into Jerusalem and wait on the promise of the Father which you have heard of me. And yet that day, from what we know in Acts chapter 2, there were only 120 Talmudim that were there in the temple in Jerusalem on the day of Shavuot. What does that mean? That means that there were 380 that were not obedient to Master Yeshua's command. Now then, one of the things that we've learned about from the Torah is that obedience is vitally connected to everything that we're learning. We talk about and we sing the Shema. Shema, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. And that word hear, Shema, not only means to hear, but it means to obey, to do. Acts chapter 5, verse 32 says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Ruach HaKodesh, whom Elohim has given to those who obey Him. Beloved, we must obey the words of our blessed Master. He commanded the disciples then to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. That commandment is still in force today. We must, as Israel, receive the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in order for us to be able to accomplish Yahweh's will for our lives and His will for Israel and the world that we're living in. Okay? Now then, the next point is the immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is the earnest or the down payment, the surety that all that Yahweh has promised us concerning our redemption in Mashiach Yeshua will be fulfilled. I'll say that again. The immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is the earnest or down payment, the surety that all that Yahweh has promised us concerning our redemption in Mashiach Yeshua will be fulfilled. Now then, if you would, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. This is what Rav Shaul wrote to the Ephesian assembly. He says, "In him, in Mashiach, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed..." Now, remember, the well, we first of all must believe. Then after having believed upon Yeshua, as believers, then we receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. He says, "Then you were sealed in him with the Ruach HaKodesh of promise, who is given as a pledge," literally a down payment of our inheritance, "with a view to the redemption of Elohim's own possession to the praise of his glory." One of the reasons we need the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh in our lives is because it is a way that we know the seriousness with which Yahweh is instructing us. He is showing us his faithfulness in giving to us his Ruach HaKodesh. It's just like when you go to buy a house or a car, what's the first thing they ask you? They want to know, how much money have you got to put down? Earnest money. They're wanting to know, because that shows on your part your, you know, sincerity about what you're doing. Well, Yahweh is honorable in everything he does, and even he wants us to see that he is clearly honest and forthright, and that everything that he has promised is true. And he gives us the down payment on everything that will come in the future. He gives that to us by the earnest of giving us the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. Baruch Hashem. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what a wonderful, wonderful Yahweh we serve. He is so good to us. Okay? So, our next point is, we must ask Abba Yahweh for the Ruach HaKodesh. Very important. You must ask. I mean, you didn't get salvation without asking. Yahweh doesn't impose himself on anyone. He doesn't knock the door down. We see in the book of Revelation, what is he doing? Yeshua is knocking on that door. He's waiting for us to open, to allow him in. Well, Yahweh does the same thing when it comes to his anointings and his power. He wants us to make that choice. We must ask our Abba Yahweh for the Ruach HaKodesh. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 9 through 13. And I want to read this. I want you to listen and see what's being said. These again are the words of Rabbi Yeshua. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." Ask, seek, and knock. What's the first three words of each of those, or three letters of those words spell? Ask. Okay? Very important. Ask. Then he goes on to say this. "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Listen. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he?" Beloved, let me tell you something. I know one of the things of those that stand against in the church, they stand against these manifestations of Yahweh's power and the baptism with the Ruach HaKodesh. They talk about, well, you know, this kind of thing is of the devil. And I kind of jokingly talked about that earlier. But in all seriousness, listen to what Yeshua is saying. If you come to Yahweh and you ask Him for the Ruach HaKodesh, you're not going to get a demon. You're not going to get something from HaSatan. May His name be blotted out forever. No, sir. If you ask Him for the Ruach HaKodesh, you're going to receive what you've asked for. The same thing He says here. And very important that He uses this these pictures of these words, a snake. If a child comes to his father and asks for a fish, is He going to give him a snake instead of a fish? No. Is Yahweh going to give you a demon instead of the Ruach HaKodesh? Or a scorpion? If that child comes and asks for an egg, is that father going to give his son something other than what he asked for? Listen. This is what Yeshua said concerning Yahweh. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Ruach HaKodesh to them who ask? If an earthly father who is imperfect will make sure that when his son asks him for a particular thing, that's what he gives them, how much more our Heavenly Father, in whom is no shadow of turning, no deception, nothing evil. If we come to Him and ask Him for the Ruach HaKodesh, He says, that's what we'll receive. Hallelujah. You see, we have to ask in order to receive. Now then, I think it's very important of what's being said there. We come to Him in trusting faithfulness, we trust in His goodness and in the integrity of Yahweh in our prayers. And, you know, He's not going to give us something other than what we've asked for and what we need. We need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. If we ask for the Ruach, then we will receive the Ruach, the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh in our life. Okay, next point. All who receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh also receive the ability to pray in a new language which the Ruach HaKodesh gives them the utterance to speak. I know in the church there was nothing more controversial than this subject of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and especially the subject of speaking with other tongues. And I'm sure it's not going to be any less controversial now. But, beloved, it's always been something that Yahweh wants us to have, and there are supernatural manifestations that come with it. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, Rav Shaul himself said this, "I thank Elohim, I speak in tongues more than you all." You know, where do you think he got much of the revelation that he had concerning what we know as the renewed covenant or the Brit Hadashah? Where do you think these things came? It came as he was praying in an intercession, praying beyond his own ability. Okay? The prayer language that's received at the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh is private. It's between you and Yahweh, and is to be used to help you pray and intercede. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27 says this, "In the same way, the Ruach also helps our weakness." Now, what weakness is he talking about? Well, let me ask you something. At times when you've gone to pray or you've gone to intercession about a particular situation or a need, do you always know what you should pray for or how you should pray? No, there's many times you don't. And Yahweh has given us a way to go beyond the finiteness of our own mental capabilities, to be able to tap into the eternal realm through the Ruach HaKodesh. Listen to what it says. "For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Ruach is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of Elohim. Right there, beloved, is why Hasatan, may his name be blotted out forever, doesn't want you praying in your prayer language received at the immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh. Because when you begin to pray in your prayer language, it's not an if or possibly or anything else. You will be praying the will of Elohim, because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will be praying through you, giving you utterance with this prayer language so that you can speak these things in intercession to Yahweh, and it will be Yahweh's will. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, thank goodness for that. As we said, when a person prays in their prayer language, they're not the tongues that they receive there. Listen, they're not speaking to men, they're speaking to Yahweh. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to Elohim. For no one understands, but in his Ruach, in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Just drop down a little bit. First part of that verse. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does the word edify mean? Well, if you go out in the morning and you can't get your car started, what do you do? Well, you go to your neighbor and you say, can you jump my car for me? Can you give my battery a charge? Well, that's what that word edify means. It means to build up, charge up. And when we pray in our prayer language, there is an edification and empowerment that happens as we begin to pray, because we're opening up our minds and our heart to the realm of Yahweh's eternal. And we're able to come in and we're able to see that Yahweh has something beyond our little bit of what we've got, that he can work in our lives to accomplish his great things. Okay? Now then, let me say something quickly, and we don't have time to go into this deeply here, but there is a difference between the gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are nine of them, nine of these gifts. And one of those gifts is the gift of speaking with other tongues, followed by the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Now, the difference between that and the prayer language that one receives at the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh is the gift of speaking with other tongues is something that's supposed to happen out in the open assembly, okay, that the Ruach causes a manifestation of a message that Yahweh wants his people to receive, and it's spoken out in the open congregation, and it must be, according to Rav Shul's instructions here in 1 Corinthians 14, it must be accompanied by an interpretation. Now then, let me quickly just touch on that. It didn't say translation, it said interpretation. A translation is a word-for-word definition or utterance of what had been said in another language. But an interpretation is just that. It means the gist of what was said. So sometimes you can have a long message in tongues, or one that takes a few moments, followed by what seems to be a shorter interpretation of that message, because it didn't take as much to get that gist across of the message that was given by the Ruach through that person in the open assembly. The interpretation came, and it was, you know, precise, concise, and didn't take as much words. One thing I've learned is that Yahweh doesn't need to say a lot in order to get the point across. But then there's times when you might have a shorter message in tongues in the open assembly, and it takes a longer interpretation to get the gist of what's being said across so that intelligently we can hear and we can understand and we can begin to implement what Yahweh is trying to speak to us. That's in the open assembly, okay? Rav Shul tells us that if anyone, and excuse me, verse 27 of chapter 14 of Corinthians, he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and then one must interpret, okay? But then he goes on, verse 28, and he says, but if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the assembly, and let him speak to himself and to Elohim. So, you know, that's one thing about being a part of an assembly, and you're there, and you know the people, and you know what's going on. You know that there are those there who have giftings and anointings, and you see it happen. And so if you have the unction to give a message in tongues, you know that there's someone there that has the gift of interpretation. So you know that you can be comfortably given because the gist of what's said is going to be spoken. But let's say you're visiting someplace and you don't know that congregation, and you have an anointing or you have an unction to give a message, maybe in tongues. You don't know who's there. So it would probably be best not to step out on that, but just simply to go ahead and speak that word out, that intercession out in tongues, just between you and Yahweh, silently. Just give that to Yahweh. I've seen some wonderful things happen as a result of dependency upon the Ruach HaKodesh. I know one time I was in a church and I had an unction to prophesy, but I didn't know these people. They didn't know me, so really, my standing up to do something, people would be more concerned with who I am than what was being said. And so my prayer became, well, Abba, if whatever, if there's someone else here that can give this, give it to them and let your word go forth. And I had no sooner got that out of my mouth than a person right over the way stood up and gave the almost word for word what I had in my mind that I felt the prophecy was going to be for that moment. And you see, it's learning to respect the Holy Spirit and not wanting, just to perform or to be seen, but that Yahweh gets the glory in all of this. So I wanted to make that statement. And the fact is, the gift of speaking with other tongues is something that not everyone will have, okay? The gift of speaking with other tongues in the open assembly is not something we're all going to function in. But the ability to pray and speak in your prayer language in other tongues is something that is available to every believer. Every believer. That's you. No matter who you are. Because you need to be able to talk to Yahweh. You need to pray beyond your own finite understanding when it comes to intercession for yourself and for others. You need to build up yourself and be edified, as Rav Shul said in 1 Corinthians 14. And then in Yehuda, in Jude, verse 20, listen to this. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh. You see, again, sometimes we just need, because there's nobody there to encourage us. Maybe you're in a position where no one's there and you're just feeling weighted and you're feeling a little down. Thank goodness. Then you can switch over and begin to pray in the prayer language you receive at the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. And the Holy Spirit is able to pray through you Yahweh's will. And you will be built up and edified, and you will have strength to go on. Hallelujah. How greatly we as Israel are going to need Yahweh's power in these days ahead. Okay. Next, in every instance where the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh is seen in the book of Acts, it is accompanied by supernatural manifestations. Okay. I just give you these scripture references and you can look them up. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 8, verse 14 through 17. Acts 10, 44 through 47. Acts 19, 1 through 6. I'm giving them to you again. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Acts 10, 44 through 47. And Acts 19, 1 through 6. Look those up. Every time there was an outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh in the book of Acts, it was accompanied by supernatural manifestations. So, you know, we're dealing, basically, beloved, you know, we're dealing with the supernatural power of Yahweh. Yahweh is supernatural. His Ruach is supernatural. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians, and he rebuked them, and he says, you're walking like mere men. Well, guess what, beloved? I'm not a mere man. I am a son of Elohim. I am a son of the living Elohim. And I should walk like my master walked, and he walked in the supernatural. He lived in the supernatural. Go through and read the Gospels and see what happened. Go through and read the book of Acts and see what happened to his Talmidim, who were anointed and baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how that Yahweh anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Beloved, we need that today. We need that more than we ever have ever needed it before. We need to see the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in our lives. Okay? And then, lastly, it is a scriptural practice for the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh to be given through the laying on of hands. And we will lay hands on anyone who comes to receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. The anointing can be transferred to those who come in faith believing to receive. And we see this happening in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 17, chapter 19, and verse 6. Hands were laid on Yahweh's people, and they were able to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Doesn't always need to happen that way. I mean, you can receive regardless. You know, no one laid hands on me the night I received the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, it happened between me and Yahweh. It can happen any way. But one way that it can happen is by the laying on of hands through that contact. There is a transference of Yahweh's power, and a person can find that well being turned into a river in their lives. Amen. Now then, as we're still with our mind on the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, I want to make a couple of statements, if I could. One of those is we have talked about the prayer language and the tongues that come, the language that comes to us as a part of the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh. But beloved, the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh is not simply or just about tongues. Okay? Let me put it to you like this. When you go out and buy a pair of shoes, what are you buying? Are you buying the shoe or the tongue that's in the shoe? No. You're buying the shoe. And guess what's in the shoe? The tongue. What we're looking for is the power that's associated with the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh that immerses us into the supernatural plane, dimension of Yahweh. Okay? Part of that is with that immersion, guess what you receive? You receive your prayer language. You receive the ability to pray to Yahweh in a language that you've never experienced before. Okay? But, you know, we're not trying to overemphasize the tongues, but at the same time, we do want you to understand that there is an important place. You can. You don't have to, but you can pray in your prayer language. It can be released that moment as the Ruach, as you're being immersed by Yeshua, the baptizer, the immerser with the Ruach, you at that moment can receive that supernatural manifestation of your prayer language right then, right there. But you don't have to. In fact, I've known in many instances where people have received their prayer language later. I know one, you know, everyone here knows Josh and Sherry. And, you know, Josh grew up more so than I did because I had only a short stay in the flavor of the Baptist church that he was associated with, which was the independent fundamental Baptist church, very much against the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the power of Yahweh associated with that. And he had all these years of teaching, of being told that this was of the devil and, you know, these things. And so when I laid hands on him to receive, I believe that he received. Okay? I believe he received right then. He received the power. And he had the ability to pray in his prayer language, but he couldn't because in his mind he had some obstacles that were there because of false teaching. Took about 6 months, but I was there with him at MIA down in Florida the night that the Holy Spirit broke loose in him. Out of his belly began to flow this river of living water. And I watched with great joy as he was just immersed afresh, filled afresh with the Ruach HaKodesh, and out came this prayer language. And I'm telling you what, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. And, you know, he'll remember it forever. I certainly did. My wife was standing in front of us as we were behind her, and I was praying with Josh. And she said you could feel the waves of Yahweh's power as the manifestation of Yahweh's power was what was manifesting in Josh. I know of others that received later, you know. But the point is that it's there and you can receive. And I think these next couple of scriptures I'm going to give you, and it comes from a very odd place, I guess you'd say. So these are found in the book of Job, Iyov. Chapter 29, verses 21 through 23. I want to read this to you. Listen to what it says. It says, "To me, Yahweh, they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel." What did Yeshua say in John chapter 7? Okay. He said, verses 37, 38, he said, "Let all who are thirsty do what? Come unto me and drink." Let me ask you a question. Can you drink and talk at the same time? I don't think so. You're going to have to choose one or the other. Either you're going to drink or you're going to talk. So if you're going to drink, you're going to have to be quiet. You're going to have to hush. And you're going to have to drink. Listen to what he says. "To me, they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel." Then it says this. "After my words, they did not speak again." And then it says, "And my speech dropped upon them." What I want to do is I want you to turn me back over to Acts chapter 2, if you would, because I want to show you something here that I think is very important for those that are going to come to receive the immersion of the Holy Spirit either tonight or later. Listen to what it says here. Okay, in verse 4. "Now the Holy Spirit has come in like a rushing mighty wind. The fire has been distributed. The tongues of fire have been distributed on those that were there." In verse 4 it says, "And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh." And then it says, "And began to speak." Now I want to take a moment, because in the language there are some things that are understood that you don't have to say the same thing again because you know what's being said. And here it says, "And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak with other tongues." But literally it could say this. And it's not said because it's understood, but I want to bring it out. It says, "And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to..." And they, you could put the "they" in there, even though it's understood to read it like this, and they began to speak with other tongues. They did. They did. Now listen to the rest of the verse. They began to speak with other tongues as the Ruach was giving them utterance. I want that to sink in. Okay? Who was doing the speaking? They were. The disciples were. But who was giving them the utterance? Who was telling them what to say? The Ruach. The Ruach HaKodesh was giving them the words. Now, I don't believe in teaching people how to pray in their prayer language. I don't get into that. But, you know, I want to say something because it will help you. If I looked at you and I said, I want you to say this with me. Say, ¿Cómo se llama? Could you do that? Sure. ¿Cómo se llama? Why? Because I told you what to say. I gave you the utterance. ¿Cómo se llama? That's Spanish for what is your name? Me llama es José. Or whatever your name is. My name is José. You could say that because I'm telling you what to say. Well, beloved, when the Ruach, and you're immersed into him by Yeshua, who is the immerser with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach is going to give you the utterance. He's going to give you that language. I've literally had people that I have prayed with to receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh look at me and say, I can hear it. I said, well, then say it. You see what's happening? The Ruach is giving them the words. Just speak it. It's not going to be English. It's not going to be in whatever your natural, normal tongue would be. It's going to be in a language that's you know, you're not, you haven't learned. Okay? And the wonderful thing is, go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. These the language that the Ruach can give you doesn't even have to be an earthly language. It can be an angelic language. That's what Rav Shul said. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So it doesn't even have to be an earthly language. It could be a terrestrial language, a celestial language. It could be one that's not even associated with the earth. But the point is, it's a way for you to get past the finiteness, the weakness that you have not being able to know how to pray or what to pray at any given time. You know? And so here it says very plainly for us, and this is for those that are going to need some help along the way. It says that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. Now let's go back to Job and let's look at what it says here. It says, to me they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel. After my words they did not speak again, because you can't drink and talk at the same time. Then it says, and my speech dropped upon them. Now listen the rest of it. They waited for me as for the rain, and opened their mouth as for the spring rain. Beloved, that's very much imagery of the Ruach HaKodesh there, the rain. You know, it talks about the rain, the latter rain, and here it's talking about the spring rain. These are all pictures of the Ruach HaKodesh. You see, you've got to hush. Don't, when you're receiving the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, don't speak in your language. There's a time to praise him. There's a time to talk. Then there's a time to be quiet. Open your mouth. Look at what it says. They waited for me as for the rain, and opened their mouth as for the spring rain. Open your mouth and let the river begin to come out. You see? Let the river begin to flow. I've actually had some folks that have received, because of different situations and whatever, like we talked about with Josh and the false teaching, it took time to overcome that. They only got a few words. They only got a few words. But you know what? The word says that those who are faithful in a little will become faithful in the much. Okay? So I've told them, just speak what you've got. And invariably, over a period of time, suddenly, at one point they went to say their few little words, and out of their belly came forth this river of living water. And the Ruach HaKodesh began to rush out of them with that prayer in the language that he gives them utterance to speak to Yahweh, so that, you know, they can pray the will of Yahweh in their lives. Another verse out of the book of Job, chapter 32, 18 through 20. Listen to what it's saying. It says, "For I am full of words." Beloved, when you receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, you are full of that language through the Holy Spirit. He's there to tell you exactly what you need to say. He says here, "For I am full of words. The Ruach, the Spirit within me, constrains me. Listen, behold, my belly is like unvented wine, like new wineskins. It is about to burst." When that well begins to turn into a river, it's like something is happening in the depth of your being. You know, really, there's more nerves in the area of your stomach than there is any other place in your body. And this is where Yeshua shows us, this is the place where we learn to recognize the moving of our spirit and the Ruach HaKodesh, the anointing. 1 John 2:27. You have received an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And it is truth and is no lie. That word anointing has to do with the rubbing of oil. And you know, you take that oil and you rub it on a sore muscle, and it just gets real kind of warm as you rub that oil in, and it just, you know, relaxes. Well, there's that feeling of just, you know, shalom, you see? And so here it is. You've got the Ruach within you, who's got all the words that you need, and he's moving in your belly. Out of your innermost being is going to flow this river. You almost feel like you're about to burst. That's why you need to open your mouth to let it out. Then it says, listen, "Let me speak that I may get relief." Hallelujah. Did you see that? "Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer." Answer who? Answer Yahweh, who's giving to you the immersion of the Holy Spirit that you have asked for. Hallelujah. You see? What powerful, wonderful things that we're seeing right here. Amen. And I hope this is going to help you as we are looking into this message. This is for Israel. It always has been for Israel. And beloved, it's for you if you have become a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach. If you're in this restoration and you have you know him as Savior and Redeemer, you need to take the next step and ask him, Abba, ask Yahweh for the Ruach HaKodesh. He's promised that he would give that to you so that you can have power in your life to do and accomplish all that he has spoken to you of. As we close, I want to just give a prayer. And again, it's just an outline. You can pray however you want, but this may help some, especially those that may be listening online. It will help you get an idea of how to ask Yahweh for the Ruach HaKodesh. So I'm going to read through this prayer, and then we're going to be closing. Okay? Abba Yahweh, in obedience to the command of our blessed Master Yeshua, we come before you and we ask for the Ruach HaKodesh. We ask that Yeshua, our Melech Mashiach, our King Messiah, would now immerse us with the Ruach HaKodesh. Immerse us and fill us. We receive your power right now. May the well which was opened when we believed upon Rebbe Yeshua as our Savior become a river of your mighty power. Flow through us. And as you do, we will open our mouth and praise you in the words that the Ruach will give us. Thank you for immersing us in the Ruach HaKodesh. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, the thing is that you, when you receive the Ruach, when you receive your prayer language, use it. Use it. Don't worry about what you don't know. Just use it. And I promise you, you're going to see so many wonderful things happen. The anointings and the supernatural realm of Yahweh will open up for you and in your life. And you'll receive the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, which I hope to be able to teach on not too distant future, that will help us understand more about these things so that we can become better equipped to walk with Yahweh. Hallelujah. We need Yahweh's power. And it's the only way that we're ever going to follow in the footsteps of our Master and to do what we've been called to do. The immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh is a one-time experience. I want to help you understand that. That happens. It's a one-time experience. But there are many infillings with the Ruach daily. Paul taught us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. He said, be filled with the Ruach. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? We need to daily be filled. Once we've received the immersion, daily we need to be filled. Daily we need to keep building ourselves up and exercising our faith and being charged and edified as we pray in the Holy Spirit. Let the river of Yahweh's power flow through you. I'm telling you. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to hear those of you online that will be listening to this. If you can receive right there where you are. Where you are right now, you can receive the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh from our blessed Master Yeshua himself. And you can pray in your prayer language and be opened to a whole other dimension. And I pray if that happens to anyone that you'll be able to let us know. Just go to the contact portion on our website and let us know. But already, I just feel that Yahweh is going to use this message to help many people. So as we close, if you would just agree with me in prayer, and then we'll close. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, I pray that every person that hears the words of this message, that every person would be challenged, that every person would be encouraged to reach out and ask you for the Ruach HaKodesh. As Israel, we need your power. You created these things for us. You gave these things to Israel. We need you in these last days. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. This is what we need. And Abba, I cry out to you. I ask that those who are listening, Abba, that need your power, that they would get past the false teachings and get past the limitations that the church may have put upon us. Abba, we're in a new day. We're in the realm of Israel. And we have to have all that you have for us in order to overcome and to be what you have called us to be and to live successfully and overcome in these latter days that we're living in. We need you. I pray, Abba, that you would take these words in the name of Yeshua. Use them. Help those that are in need. Bring many into this experience of immersion with the Ruach HaKodesh, that we see our blessed Yeshua, Melech Mashiach, King Mashiach, enthroned, even as he promised. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, our Comforter, is here and has taken up residence and now wants to flow in us and through us to empower us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Abba, we praise you for all these things. We ask all these things in the name of Yeshua, our blessed Master and our Rebbe. Amen and amen.